Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA and whole world. Of course, LA Talk Radio Accent on Monday, 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time for last almost 5 years. Hey, not bad. But Sundays are really, really very, very happy. And today, I think this is one of those days. I would love to officially introduce a new segment on Accent On. That is called Accent on Gormley. And some people will say, Gormley, we remember this name. Because the segment will be created by Mike Gormley, our friend of the show. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. I don't even know Mike. I think I would love to like a little read maybe from our press release a little bit what we'll be doing, or you think you will tell our listeners what your segment will be about. What do you think? Okay, go. You tell us.
All right. Thank you. We're just going to talk to friends of mine primarily, and a lot of friends of mine are incredibly creative and very busy and very successful people, so it makes for great conversation. And I've talked to a bunch of people who we're going to talk to over the months, coming weeks and months, and it's got me excited, and that takes a while.
Yay! Of course, for me, I'm so excited too, because some of these people I would never have a chance to meet. And they are really, really great artists, great filmmakers. They are business people. And I will say, because people need to know that you are really like a veteran of music, business. You are a journalist of almost 40 years.
Correct. Yeah.
And you have your own consultancy that is called?
It's LA Personal Development. And it's a consultant for mainly musicians, the couple of actors, and it just follows up what I've been doing, which is talent management for the most part for a long time. And it's helping an awful lot of people who are either starting out or have reached a point where they want to take a jump in their career, and I'm able to help them, and it's fantastic. Great.
And for me, we have somebody calling. Maybe we will pick up the phone. I wonder who it is. Hello? 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 Oh, we cannot hear anybody. Hello? Okay, it's no answer. But let's see. Yeah, maybe they will try one more time. And again, again. Staying phone. Okay, one more time. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Alona. It's Lisa Langlois calling for Peter Foldy.
Hi, Lisa. Oh, my gosh.
Hi.
I didn't even yet introduce our guest, but I think in live radio, this is the best moment to just do so. Mike, this is Mike Gormley. This is your show, your segment today. Mm. Hi, I can just listen to you introduce your guest. Okay, please, Mike.
Okay, well, everybody knows Lisa, but we'll talk to her in a second.
Yes, we need to introduce again and again our beautiful friend Lisa. Okay.
Our guest tonight is Peter Foldy, who is another Canadian roaming around Los Angeles.
And there's a lot of us.
Yeah, I know. We're everywhere. You know, we'll get into Peter's background from his point of view, but very quickly, it's very interesting. He at one point had a number one record in Canada as a singer-songwriter. he came to L.A. He suddenly is writing and directing movies. He's done five movies. He's got a play opening up on June 2nd called Penetration, which we'll talk about. He grew up. He was born in Budapest. He did a lot of growing up in Sydney, Australia, and his buddies at that time were three guys known as the Bee Gees. And then he moved to Toronto, and that's when he put a band together and suddenly had a number one record, and life's been pretty amazing. Welcome, Peter. Nice
and
to see you.
Thank you, Mike, and hello, Ilona.
Oh, my gosh, and you are originally from Europe. My name is Ilona. It's a very Hungarian name. I'm Polish. But you know what? I feel like I know you.
Yes, we're family. Eastern Europeans.
I'll be talking about cooking, too, because, oh, my gosh, I love some type of goulash that is Hungarian goulash, and I'm sure you, too. But, Lisa, we have you on the phone with us, and you are calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Yay. Oh, really? What are you doing there? Why you are not here with us in L.A.?
I'm producing Idea City, which are the TED Talks of Canada.
Oh, okay. And you know Peter, yes?
Yes, I know Peter, and I think this is his... Peter, are you from Montreal or Toronto?
I'm from Toronto, right? Lisa. Yeah, I lived in Toronto for a long time.
Yeah, it's your stomping ground.
That's right.
You moved back to Toronto, right? So that's what I'm doing here.
And so I wanted to endorse Peter as a very talented man on very many levels. Writer, singer, songwriter, producer, but also just a great guy.
Well, thank you so much. That's so nice.
Did you have a chance to work with him on any capacity?
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to work for him.
Because you are an actor.
For him to write that great role.
We'll make that happen, Lisa.
She sings so well, too.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I did not know you were singing.
She's been produced by Quincy Jones, excuse me.
No.
Hello?
Lisa.
Lisa, you see, remember what I said. He didn't know, but I know you sing beautifully.
I know.
And now we need to think another way.
And as you said, hello.
Hello. But you both are from Toronto, although when you will be coming to Los Angeles, I miss you.
I'm coming down probably in July. Because that's the conference is June 14th to 16th, and then I have a couple of weeks of co-production. I mean, sorry, post-production, and then I'll be back down.
Oh, I'm hoping that maybe Lisa can just stop by and say hi to us.
Idea City is its 18th year, but it's a major project, and she's producing the whole thing, so. We're lucky we got a few minutes to talk to her. Plus, today is what day in Canada, Lisa?
It's Victoria Day. It's the Queen's birthday.
Oh, there you go.
So there's celebrations? Are you having a good time?
No, she's working.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah, working?
Actually, when there's a holiday in Canada, the stores are already closed. It's really a holiday.
Oh, then you are boring like crazy.
That's the way it used to be. When I moved to Canada, you couldn't get anything, even on a Sunday. Couldn't get a carton of milk.
Same in Poland. I don't like that.
Okay. It's good. Good
but,
for you.
Yeah, we'll let you to go back to your wonderful, beautiful holiday-ish day.
And yes, because the firecrackers are on. They're starting to go off, the firecrackers.
And the next holiday there is July 1st, which is 150th birthday of Canada. So that's going to be a big party, too.
That's right.
I might go up for that.
There's going to be a big party. Are you going to go, Peter?
I'm coming up to Canada end of June, early July. So, I should be there, yeah.
I have a great...
You should come for Idea City.
Okay, when is it?
June 14th to the 16th.
I can't... Well, I got a play that's running till the
18th. Oh, that's right.
18th.
Gosh, these Canadians, I feel like outsider. Got no holidays in for... Oh, we do have next week something.
50 speakers, a ton of inspiration, and two Moses Neimer legendary parties.
I would love to go to that, seriously, but I can't this year.
Next year.
I will.
All right.
I'll be there next year.
Okay, but you'll be writing some cool song.
Yes.
For Lisa.
Yes, exactly.
See, we said this on the air, and now it is for sure, Mike, you remember.
Now it has to happen.
Okay. Thank you so much. Kisses to you.
Okay, thank you.
Say hi to all people who celebrate today. Bye-bye.
Bye, Lisa.
Okay. Bye.
Yay, I miss her. I'm so happy she's happy in Canada.
She's busy.
I know.
Yeah.
We had her like 2-3 weeks before she was leaving to Canada, and then things were happening so nicely for her, and now she's not wanting to come back. What did you do to her?
Don't look at me.
Okay, great. Coming back to your guests, I think we need to rewind our conversation to the moment when we were introducing Peter. I know Lisa has a lot of good things to say. To me, as a radio host and person that I didn't know you, but obviously I had a website, I had links, I had everything what I wanted to learn about you before I met you. And certain things really, really made me very interested in you. Okay, how did this happen? That from living Hungary, and you were a musician in the beginning, yes?
Well, in Hungary I was a child.
Yeah, but then when did you started to play instruments?
I always had sort of a weird fascination with wanting to sing. I don't even know why, because I don't think I'm even a good singer, but I just like to sing. And so when I was about 12 or 13, I got onto a talent show in Australia called Opportunity Knocks.
Interesting.
And I got up and sang a song. You know, thinking about it now, I feel like an idiot, but
no.
I probably made a fool of myself. But I got up and sang a song. I actually think I came second or third in this. It was like a contest, and I got a watch. And I kind of had a fascination with it. And then somebody, a kid at school, had some money that he was, I don't know where he got it, but he was giving people, handing out money to people. He probably stole it. I really don't know. But he gave me some money, and I went out and bought a guitar with it. And I just started teaching myself guitar. And then around that time, I met a kid who was a singer on, he was a really great singer and a great guitar player, and he was a singer on Australian television. And through him, I got to meet the Gibbs, you know, Robin and Morris Gibb, particularly the twins.
Oh, come on. This couldn't be so easy.
It was very easy. Just sort of,
which means meant to be.
It was meant to be. And my friend Trevor said, yeah, I'm hanging out with these guys. You've probably seen them on TV. And come around to the house, you know. So we went around, and I saw these guys pick up guitars and start singing this amazing harmony that, you know, the Bee Gees had.
The head voice, all of them had already so beautiful.
Their voices had barely changed. They were like, we were all about 13, 14.
So beautiful.
So they
sound
were amazing forever. Singers.
So they were on TV then, but they hadn't had, or had they had hits in Australia? Were they known?
No, because, you know, like in Canada, it was very hard for Australian artists to break through. A few had, but the Bee Gees, they were kind of more like a novelty act. They were actually, as youngsters, more like adult entertainers. They were working nightclubs, singing songs like Bye Bye Blackbird. You know, they were working for adults.
Standards and all
standards.
Yeah.
So they hadn't broken out as a sort of a hit band yet. But they weren't singing on television shows, but they were kind of like not really getting a lot of traction. But I was amazed by their talent, and also because they're British, you know, like the Beatles, they had this very
aura of something.
Well, also the sense of humor that you only get out of English people.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Okay, but and you met them when you were very young, you're 16, 17
so it was,
years
old. 14, 15. So I just saw what they were doing, and I said, damn, I want to do this too. But of course, I didn't tell anybody because.
Yeah.
How could I be in their presence and say, I want to sing too? It's like these guys are so amazingly good. So I really didn't do much about it. And then when I left Australia, sadly left because my parents decided to move, and that was like a tragedy in my life, really.
Aww.
Having to leave. It was terrible. You know, just Australia was a paradise, as anybody who's been there will tell you. I got to Canada, and I first went to film school, but I did put a little band together with my best friend, and we started playing nightclubs. And then my friend said after a year, you know, I'm going to go to medical school. I can't do this music stuff anymore. I said, what? Are you kidding? We're getting closer.
We're almost there.
We're almost there. We already actually had interest from a label in Canada, but they weren't yet doing Canadian content. But this guy said, you know, we're going to start Canadian content in Canada, and you guys should come back in about a year. So my friend quit the band, went to
medical school,
and of course he's away in Europe right now with his wife. He's making the big bucks. He's a rich doctor.
Hopefully.
lives here in Encino. And, you know, I started doing demos on my own, and then I was very fortunate to go back to that same guy who said, come back in a year, and he signed me to a deal. And again, incredibly fortunate to have written a very catchy pop song called Bondi Junction about a place I grew up in Australia.
What a song.
And it just got traction, you know. It was just got played for all through the summer.
Nobody had YouTube. Nobody said art needs to have millions of people on YouTube and need to have a website, need to have all this greatness. And somehow, somewhere, the talent or the song brought to the attention of masses.
Yeah.
And somehow we created the stars, you know, which right now seems like almost impossible to do because there's so many people wanting to do the same.
So many people wanting to do it now.
And because of internet, it seems like the war of who is better and who does better social media or something wins is not about talent, too.
You know, now it's just, you're right, there's so many people doing it. In those days, it was not everybody wanted to be a singer or a songwriter or a film director. But if you did want to, the opportunities were greater. The door was easier to push open. Now it's a lot harder to push open. So I was fortunate I got, you know, a foot in the door, and somehow this song just caught traction. And, you know, we used to get in the car with the promo guys from the label and just drive around to all the small towns, and they'd introduce me, and these guys would say, yeah, we'll listen to it. We'll see if we can play it. We don't know if it's going to work. But then some important stations started playing it, and once the important stations pick up on it, then it starts getting traction.
I think all the young people who...
CHUM in Toronto was... if you got on Chum,
yeah,
you were on your way.
Yeah, because that was like they had stations all across the country. Right. But it was first really the big important station was a station called CKOC.
But you say somehow, and we move on to another somehow. Somehow you're in L.A. making a movie, writing and directing. What happened? How did you make that jump, or how did that happen?
Okay, well, to make a long story short, so I had 10 really good years in the music business. After Bondi Junction, I got signed by EMI in Canada, and put out a couple of successful records there. And I found myself down here recording. And then I got signed to RCA Records, and that kind of ended my career. I went to RCA.
Oh.
I was on a division of RCA called Free Flight, and in, when was it, 1980, they shut the label down. They just said, you know, the label's not going to go on anymore. So I was suddenly without a label for the first time in 10 years. And I started, you know, wanting to continue my career in music, but I was also in a town...
Tired, probably, of fighting.
Yeah, well, it's always fighting. Whatever level you're on is always a battle. But I was in L.A., and I had studied film at university, and I decided with a friend to write a script. And I was very lucky. And it is luck, really.
Yes. We had persistence.
But we had a good, fun little teen comedy. And we sold the script. The film got made as Hot Moves, H-O-T, Hot Moves. And it was a very popular title. It was sold to VHS when VHS was brand new. So it made millions of dollars on VHS. It also played in theaters all across the country. So the film was very, very successful. I was just a writer on it and an associate producer. But I thought, oh, my God, I love this. This is what I actually wanted in the first place. You know, I wanted to be a filmmaker. So it was such a joy to be on a set for, like, 30 days, and then I stayed around. They had me write a sequel and blah, blah, blah. So, then I kept writing, and then one day I decided I want to direct, and I want to write something that I know I can get made. So I wrote a sort of a pretty commercial action film, and I was, again, very lucky. I met someone at a party, and they said they had a company, and I went to see them, and the company ended up being owned by a guy called Menachem Golan. I don't know if you know him. He's an Israeli producer who owned Canon Pictures a long time ago.
Nice to know.
Major.
He was the first of the mini majors. So anyway, I was in the office talking to the first guy when Menachem walked in and said, "What's this?" And I said, it's a script I wrote. And he said, "What is it?" And I said, "It's called Bad Cops." He goes, "Bad Cops?" I said, "Yeah, it's kind of got a Rodney King element to it." He goes, "Rodney King? We'll make this." He goes, I said, "You will?" He says, "Yes." He says, "This is what we want to make." And he said, "Who's directing?" I said, "Me." He goes, "What have you directed?" I said, "Nothing." He says, "Okay."
Wow.
And
I love your stories.
And that's how it happened.
You see, I believe in that. And a lot of times, you know, I'm coaching a lot of young artists, and I'm also a musician and developing talents. And all my life, that's all what I do. I develop myself forever and ever, my daughter forever, a lot of young people. But they don't believe that sometimes the luck, the moment in life, that just pure accident and pure... who knows who, in a good way,
sure,
can turn your life completely in this amazing direction.
So listen to this. So I finished my first film, and it was, again, a very, very lucky. It was so I wrote it, produced it, and directed it. It had Maxwell Caulfield and Jan Michael Vincent, if you remember him, from Airwolf, and had some really good actors, and it was a very ambitious film on a very low budget.
Virginia Mayo
was in it, the great movie legend from, she was in To Have and, was it To Have and Have Not? I think so. Anyway, she was amazing. Talking to her at lunch about her 21st birthday, she had two dates, Errol Flynn and Clark Gable.
Whoa.
That's who took her out for her 21st birthday. So she was a trip. But anyway, so the film gets made, and I stick around with Menachem for another year until his company goes bankrupt. And then again, I'm just like in the record business, I'm suddenly sort of out of work.
What now?
So I start looking through Variety, and I see a listing. In those days, they used to list all the upcoming films. And I see a name that I recognize, a guy called Shelby Gregory. And I go, oh, Shelby's working for a film company. I'll call up Shelby. Maybe, you know, I can
there's
sell a script.
There, yeah.
Right. So I call up, and I go, Shelby Gregory, please. And they said, oh, she's out to lunch. I go, she... I was looking for a guy called Shelby Gregory.
Oops.
And so they go, you know, no, it's a woman. She's my assistant. I'm sorry. Thank you. I said, wait a minute. What do you guys do there? She says, we make movies. I said, really? I said, I just finished my first film. It's very successful. It's called Midnight Witness. And she goes, well, good for you. I said, are you guys looking for any projects? She says, yes, but we only do Canadian content.
Oh, gosh.
I said, I'm Canadian. She says, what do you got? So I pitch her this idea. She says,
okay, we need to be very close to Peter. He's the lucky one.
Well, not always.
No. Hey, you never know. Tomorrow will be your luckiest day.
So the woman says to me, come in tomorrow. So I go to see her. somewhere in this neighborhood, actually. And she options the material. And about a year later, the film gets made.
Is this Hot Moves?
No, that was Triss.
Oh, Triss.
Hot Moves was my first one.
Hot Moves was your first one. And I
only wrote it. I didn't direct that one.
Hot Moves... This is his first movie. It's made for less than $500,000.
$425,000.
And made $10 million. And $10 million in the early 80s was a lot
of money. But, you know, in those days, VHS was very hungry. The foreign market was very hungry for American products. So if you were able to make a film, there's a very good likelihood you'd sell it and make money with it. And these guys, Menachem Golan, the guy who owned the company, which was called 21st Century, previously it had been Canon. So he was a master at marketing and selling. He's the guy that kind of invented pre-sales. So he took a poster and he put Charles Bronson's picture on it and he wrote the words Death Wish. He didn't have a script. He just had a friendship with Charles Bronson. He said, Charles, I want to make a film with you. He took the poster to Cannes Film Festival and he raised the money in pre-sales.
As exists already.
Like he would say,
idea is already in the making.
Yeah, he said, I'm making this. So all these people said, yeah, Germany says, you know,
I'll give you some money.
300 and, you know, France says we'll give you 500. And when he had all the money, he made the film. And that's what pre-sales are. People now, you know.
Of course, right now, that's all what we do everywhere. Yeah, Mike, I want to come back to you because we are talking 70s and 80s. And in a way, you know, lots of things were happening in your life. We didn't mention also your success life stories with a lot of artists, pop artists, and we want to know the names because even when you were both in different places, you were already in New York, yes? You were working in New York?
No, I was never in New York. I was in Chicago.
In Chicago, sorry. And the Playboy mansion, you talk about Playboy buildings there, yes?
Yeah.
You saw from your office day building, we are talking about pre-promotion, how you, very similar, you were thinking the same way, you know, how to pre-promote big artists.
I was head of publicity,
okay,
having never done publicity.
Yeah.
And I had records out by Buddy Miles and I've forgotten who else, but then Rod Stewart, and Rod Stewart's first big record. And the Playboy building was, I could see it from my window, and I thought, well, I should know those people. So I called them up, and they invited me out to a picnic on a Saturday, and I met them, and they did a big story on Rod Stewart, and I found out later it was the first pop artist, so they called him in those days, that they'd written about, because they focused in on jazz. So it was,
Different way of thinking, adventure, yes, very, very, but that's a forward thinking, a very unusual way. The same with you, you never had a problem to ask. Or just asking is very important.
If you don't
in this
ask, it's not going to happen.
You'll never get it. You know, but some people are waiting to be asked. But I think the people who change the world in any business, they just always ask for what they need, and you know, they find ways to make things happen. Okay, now we are 1980s. We are getting
actually that was 90s
already. 90s
in the film world for me.
Gosh, your life goes so fast.
It
okay.
Does.
But in the meantime, you are still a singer a little bit, and you are composing, your dream being a musician?
So what happened was, you know, I went through the 90s making films, and, you know, I directed five features, like from about 93, 94 on, I was making a picture a year. It was a nice run. I did a nice big picture for HBO with Beverly D'Angelo, and had some good projects, and then, you know, did a little bit of television. And... anyway, so when Facebook came along, some of these people who had you know, knew my music from the 70s and the 80s, started saying, hey, you know, I met my wife when, you know, your record was number one. And, you know, it brings back really fond memories. So I thought, you know, it's maybe it's time to come full circle again and do another album. So in about 2013, I started thinking about cutting a new album. And it took till about 2015 to finish it, but I put it out and on my own label, because now getting a label deal
of course.
Is like...
Yeah.
Oh, well, unless you're 14 or 15.
But still, they want you to have already album paid for, perfectly done. Yeah. And
but anyway, so I did the album, and it got really, really nice reviews. I mean, by legitimate, like the Toronto Star, who would, you know, it's very, it's like the LA Times. It's a very tough paper to get a good review from. I got some good reviews, and I got some decent airplay in Canada and beyond, in Scotland and Ireland.
And we have Carly.
Yes.
Yeah, so can we play now?
Yes. So Carly's, you know, I think the single from the album and that, the CD, and that's what got most of the airplay. And it's kind of a fun song.
We'll play.
Go Carly.
Go Carly, Peter Faldi, Carly.
Carly, it's not fair. I won't be there standing beside you. You think I'm wasting your time, not towing the line. Misguide you. Now you're sipping vino, or is it cappuccino? As you give your heart away. Always thought that we were connected. Losing you like this is rather unexpected. Carly, can't you see I'm trying? That's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Carly, you've made your move. You've got something to prove. And you think it's essential. Weren't you the one to declare? Inconsequential. I'm staring out the window, sitting here in limbo, watching night turn into day. Suddenly our love feels suspended. Is it true? Have I really been unfriended? Carly, can't you see I'm trying? That's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. In this crazy world we live in, people taking, they're not giving. All I wanna do is help. I put a post on your wall saying love conquers all, and I know it's conclusive. The sounds of hallelujah are loud enough to fool you when you're lost in nowhere land. It hurts to think that you're not behaving. Maybe it's a drag, but this love still worth saving. Carly, can't you see I'm trying? 1 minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight.
Beautiful is this song.
Oh, thank you.
Really, I say, okay, son, And we have sun behind our windows. But some people don't have so beautiful sun. They need songs like that, too. Yeah. This song is very appropriate for Los Angeles because it's easy, breezy, and we want to just drive the car and listen to sweet songs like that. But I say I want to announce officially on Elite Talk Radio on Accent On, Ilona Europa, I have prediction. Maybe in 2 years we'll be having American Idol for people 40 and older, and songs appropriate for listeners.
It could happen.
At this age, you know. And I, like I mentioned in a moment, that I am sure young people will go crazy for sounds like that. And they will learn one or two from songs like that.
It could happen.
It's beautiful.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Of course. Very, very beautiful songs. Congratulations. I cannot wait for all your album.
Yeah, no, the album's called, the CD's called Nine Lives.
So. Nine Lives, okay. People can purchase from your website?
Yeah, no, it's on iTunes and Amazon and all that. It's called Nine Lives. The reason it's called Nine Lives is because I didn't know what to call the album. I did, you know. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, you know, Pete, he's an English guy, Paul Lynch, who you know, and he goes, Peter, you know, it's like you've had nine lives. Like, you lived in Australia, you lived in Canada, you know the Bee Gees. It's like you've had nine lives. You should call it Nine Lives. And I thought, maybe.
That's a cool title.
And then he calls me a couple of days later, and the cover of the album is a cat.
Of course.
Like an Andy Warhol cat. And he goes, Peter, I've got an idea. Cats. I go, what? He said, women love cats. You've got to put a cat. I said, Paul, I'm not putting a cat on my CD. And then I thought about it. Nine lives.
Like, why not?
I found a really cool Andy Warhol-like image and you know that we had created. And so it's called Nine
Lives.
Okay,
people, if you like Carly, please go to iTunes. Please go to Amazon. Please go to website of Peter Faldi and then purchase
Nine Lives.
Yeah,
with a nice cat on the cover.
Meow! Very, very beautiful. Okay, Mike, we are here for a reason. We are promoting something, and we need to be very strong to promote.
We're promoting a play that Peter has written and is directing, and it's not your first play.
It is. Yes.
Oh, I thought you had something off Broadway.
Well, no.
You're writing scripts, yes?
No, the Broadway thing is a long, complicated story, but I have a little piece of a play that has been playing off Broadway. I played off Broadway from 2007 I played for 3 years till the turn of the century. Turn of the decade. Not thinking straight. I have a small piece of that, but that I don't have any physical involvement in
it. So this play is, first off, okay, the play is called Penetration. And when Peter first gave me that name, I must have had a strange look on my face because he said, yes, it's about what you think it's about.
Ouch! I was hoping that you would say something else because we can penetrate so many different issues.
I don't know where that card is. The description card is...
I read what is the penetration about, and I really need to know the ending.
Okay, so...
you can tell us a little bit.
I can tell you a little bit about it. You know, I go to see a lot of plays, and I saw some really edgy material, and the Fringe Festival is kind of an edgy festival.
Oh, yeah?
So I wanted to write something that was a little bit, provocative and sexy. But, you know, really, it's not a dirty play, even though it's called Penetration. It's about a young guy who's taken a purity pledge with his very conservative fiancé. And, you know, they've taken a pledge not to have sex.
And all this happens right now. This is not like throwback to 80s or something.
No,
this happens now.
On the night of the presidential election on November 8th.
Did you predict who wins?
We kind of talk about that a little bit. But he's with a very conservative girl, and he takes a purity pledge. And he hasn't had sex for about a year. And so he goes on the internet because his girlfriend's away, and he looks for a girl in a chat room. And kind of like in a Woody Allen movie, she materializes in his room, and he can't get rid of her. You know, she's there, and she's stuck there, and his roommate is very happy. Roommate says, wow, you know, my friend's back to his old self, and he's very happy. So they have this night of drinking, and everybody tells the truth and reveals a secret, basically. And the next day, his girlfriend comes back and he realizes that he's got to follow his heart and pursue his life the way he's meant to be living it and not stuck in this weird relationship. So there's a couple of twists in it that I don't want to give away, but it's a lot of fun. And it's, it's got a lot of four-letter words, not as many as a Martin Scorsese movie, but, you know, if you're offended, then you shouldn't come. But it is a really fun little play with really good actors.
Oh, it's for grown-ups?
You know, anybody over 16 can have it. It's not, you know, look, there's nothing racy happens in the play. Okay. It's just fun, and it's a provocative title that I think catches people's attention.
Wonderful.
It's running during the Fringe Festival. It debuts June 2nd.
Yeah, it opens June 2nd, which is coming up. In fact, I was at a rehearsal with the actors before I came here, and then we've got shows. Let me see.
June 8, 9, 11. Wow. Yeah, 8, 9, 11, 13, 17, and 18.
17 and 18, yeah. So there's seven shows altogether.
And in L.A., it's a theater called the Dory at the Complex on Santa Monica Boulevard in L.A.
Yeah, well, it's very much part of the Fringe. You know, the whole Fringe Festival happens around in that area.
Obviously, I have this information on Accent on our Facebook. You have the same problem with headphones?
It would just crack.
Yeah, in my ears, too. Hopefully, it will be okay.
I won't touch the wires.
but I think... my problem too, but anyway, you can find this on Mike Gormley. I posted
Here's what we're doing, or here's what Peter's doing. Peter's created a code, and if you, well, let him explain it. But there's we'll get some money off the tickets. So go ahead.
Yeah. So you can buy the tickets for the play. Basically, the place to buy them is on the Fringe website. But I've created a website called www.penetrationtheplay.com, so it's pretty easy to remember, penetrationtheplay, all one word, .com. So if you go there and you want to come see the show, the tickets are $15, but if you enter the discount code Mike, M-I-K-E, named after him,
Mike,
you get $3 off, so it becomes a $12 ticket. So if you want to see Penetration.
And first show is June 2nd?
June 2nd, that's our preview, and that's selling out pretty quick. But this shows, you know, through to the 18th, and you know, we'd love to have people come visit.
So the code isn't just for opening night; it's for any night.
Actually, it's not for opening night because the opening night's a $7.50 preview, so it's already a half price ticket.
Already,
so if you want to come to the opening night on June 2nd, that's already $7.50, so you can just buy a ticket for $7.50. But if you want to come to any other shows, the tickets are $15.
How many people the theater?
It's a small theater. It's like a 60 seat.
Okay, then people better start moving and
we
trying
started
to book.
The last few days, the ticket sales have really started to jump. So
where is the theater again? Do we have address?
Yeah, the address is 6476 Santa Monica Boulevard. It's called The Complex.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's very easy. One more time, we want this code.
The code is Mike, M-I-K-E.
So you go where?
You go to www.penetrationtheplay.com.
Okay.
That takes you right to the ticket page, and you pick out the show that you want to see, the date that you want to see.
And you put in the code.
It'll ask you for, do you have a discount code? And you put in Mike, and you get $3 off.
Isn't that nice?
Wonderful.
For you, Mike, anything.
<That's>
for your listeners, anything.
Yeah, any savings is good savings, and it's just game. I like that.
It's also, even if you pay full price, you know, it's a nice... That's not an expensive night.
I mean, $15 is not, you know, it's not going to break the bank for anybody.
Right. Yeah, so it's...
Not in Santa Monica, for sure. I think French fries cost more. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was wonderful because it's something new, and you promised that we'll be smiling.
You'll definitely be smiling.
That's good. Okay, can I give people a little bit of music? 3 minutes?
Please.
A little bit. Okay. Little French, little Spanish, little something. Ilona Europa, je t'aime mon amour.
Je t'aime mon amour, I love you, yo te quiero solo tú. Like every song that I've heard over and over again lives in my heart. Tell me again, I love you, mon amour, solo tú, familiar too. I want to keep in my head, rewind forever the day I met you when my world collapsed. Of your life, what is unreal passes us by. I want to stop the merry-go-round, time's running out for you and I have my dream, come stay with me. The days of our life, side by side, a night filled with I love you, yo te quiero solo.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I love that.
I have the soft part and tough part and danceable part.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You always take, you've got, because you've lived here now for a while, you have this interesting European, North American mixture to your music that's very.
You know that you don't know really my music, Mike. You only know three songs that I'm playing all over when you are here.
You don't know.
But one day I'll give you my album.
Yes,
the album, this one, because I know you will like it, is a really singer-songwriter album. And some of my students who, like I say, I'm much older than my students, who are beautiful singers. Mm-hmm. But when I show them songs in this style, they have no problem to pick them up and record them on their own albums. They have no problem. Then, you know, like I said, something is there about nice melody, purity, just words. Like I say, my English was not so good, but I had a few words that I just wanted to wrap up my thoughts around.
You convey a beautiful feeling with that song.
Yeah,
it's got
thank
a nice,
you.
Mellow, happy,
I was produced by
a German
gentleman who is in Germany, and they did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming back to you, my Peter Foldy, and our wonderful guest, Mike Gormley. We have our first segment, official segment, which will be having two every month.
Two every first and third Monday of the month.
Yeah, and sometimes if holidays are popping up.
A little different. Well, next
week,
next week we'll be back next week with Sheila Nichols, who's a great singer, songwriter. But down through the upcoming weeks and months, talking to a lot of different people. Danny Goldberg, who's got a great book out about the hippie years, but Danny's background is president of almost any record company you can think of.
Yeah. Wow.
At one time ran Led Zeppelin's label, but also a good executive, but a very creative guy. And can't mention some of the names, but I'm talking to some very interesting people.
I am really excited, and making me excited is very hard. I make myself excited about people's lives or people's stories, not. I love On Accent On to just bring people that they can give us not only the easy success, but really the struggle, the stories behind, you know. Knowing you have no accent, but you were a baby when mama, or very young child when mama moved your whole family.
Yeah,
yes.
I was young when I left Hungary. But
are you going back to Budapest? Did you
I've
visit?
Been back many, many times.
It's one of the most beautiful,
it's a gorgeous city.
City in the world. Do you feel like some blood?
Absolutely. I could actually, I don't know if I could live there, but I love going back to visit. It there, and you know, I'm fluent in Hungarian. I actually read and write.
Wow,
but, you know,
that's a tough language.
No, but it's weird. My Hungarian got better because when I was a kid, I could only speak like a kid. Yes, mom, I want ice cream, you know, whatever. But as I got older, for some reason, my Hungarian just developed, and I don't really hang out with a lot of Hungarians. So I really enjoy speaking Hungarian.
No, I think, what about you, Mike? Did you ever been in Budapest?
I've not, and I've wanted to go there for quite a bit, but I've not made it to that particular city.
I think he needs a tour.
Yeah.
He needs a tour. We all need
world,
a tour.
Well, let's get Lisa and yourself, and the four of us will go to
We will. We'll create some nice show
well,
for the people.
Well, we need to go with Iona, because that's what Then we got the red carpet treatment.
I believe it.
Yes, in a way. They don't really do too many red carpets, but they treat you like your own one. Yeah, I like it. Nice. Europeans are really treating the artists in the right way, and I love this. It's not even laughable. It's just very, very sweet. Mike, this show is beautiful and very friendly, and really your life story is uplifting because you proved to us that working hard and having open mind and wanting to move from one direction to another is nothing wrong. Yes, Mike, we all are starting somewhere and ending somewhere else.
I think you first have to dream it, and then if you can dream it, you can achieve it. But, you know, I just got to say, like, my life hasn't been a bed of roses. It's not like every door opens. It's the struggle is really real, as you know, and it's hard. It's hard to get films made now. It's hard to get music heard. But, you know, that's why I'm doing the play right now. I had a little pause this summer, and I thought, I want to try a play. I've never directed a play, so I want to do it, and I'm making it happen.
From idea to making happen. Yeah. Sometimes it's 6 months. Or
and
sometimes
you never know what it leads to. You just don't know.
Then whoever listens, come on, people. It's beautiful weather, and just start thinking what to do when nights are longer. There's so many things people can do with their lives. I don't know if this is the right moment to really say how sorry we are what's happening in England, in Manchester, with Ariana Grande concert. I think our past, we all are like similar age, we didn't have this type of issues. We were going to concerts. We were hanging out at 10, 11 at night. You know, sometimes parents just didn't care because they knew we are okay, we are safe, we listen to music, and it was just safe. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I know how many young people, children, teenagers went to this beautiful concert of Ariana Grande, and how many people died today?
Yeah,
we still don't know what really happened. We are like watching, you know, the news popping up in front of our eyes. But I think we would love to send love to everybody went to the show, and we are hoping Ariana Grande is carrying on with her tour.
You have 20 people, 19 or 20 that we've heard
right
about
now,
hundreds who are injured, but and then. How you have to deal with it for the rest of your life?
Psychological damage.
All you did was go out for a concert, and now you got to think of this and somebody beside you. Nothing to say, is there?
And we say we have two choices, be scared, and we are for a moment. I think everybody's scared for a moment.
But you keep living.
Or just keep living.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the question came up earlier about whether she should continue her tour. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't continue her tour, these jerks won. You know what I mean? And it must be a terrible decision to have to make for her as to whether she's going to, you know, play. I don't know what the rest of the tour, but it's a European tour, and it wasn't over. And so she has to make a decision, do we go on or not? And, of course, probably a lot of people are giving her advice in terms of security. But I hope they don't get away with stopping the music. It just, we can't, what can you do? But you can just say, we can't just let that happen. It's to me, it's the end of the world if you stop the music, because that's what I've lived with all my life. And, you know, so anyway, it's a sad situation, and feel a little hopeless in a little studio here in Los Angeles, but our hearts certainly do go out to everybody involved, even remotely. Even somebody went to the concert tonight and was not injured, but their grandma in Seattle is freaking out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The ramifications are horrible. And
so many parents are probably holding the children and say, no, you are not going for next concert. Yeah. You are not. We don't want you to be not safe.
And that's why they do these bombs, because they want people to stop living lives. You know. But we don't know who did it, and we have to wait and see what happens. But it's a horrendous thing. It's like, I'm afraid to read the news now. I wake up and I listen to jazz till about noon. I don't want to know bad stuff until, you know, at least I've had lunch.
Yeah, I was telling Mike that we need to just create islands. Everybody can create small islands that only invite people that we trust, we love, and we still are like patting them down, seeing if they don't bring anything dangerous, and just give them 50,000 of contracts or something. But you know what? It's just no way to hide. Where do you hide? And about babies, we are talking about children and grandchildren, and we are older people. We have our past, and we were scared, and our grandparents were scared very, very much. We remember all the tears and pictures and all of stories, but our children, they don't deserve the same. Mm-hmm. They don't. And like you say, music is the most beautiful things that we can give to people forever and ever. Memories, like you mentioned, a lot of people on Facebook are talking to you, Peter, because they remember your song and they had love story that was developing, yeah, because they listened to your
song.
It's
amazing. It amazes me.
You know, the same, I know, Mike, oh my gosh, you know, through all of these guests and meetings that we'll be having, you'll be creating like almost book of beautiful memories that I hope people will remember one day. They will buy in a book form, because the life that you had and have need to carry on, you know, the great people and creating the best memories that we can with music and notes.
That's what we'll do here.
Lovely.
Be great.
Anyway, LA Talk Radio, we are done with our show for today, Accent On. Today, first official segment that is called Accent On Gormley. And our first official guest of the segment was
Peter Foldy.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. And this has been amazing. And I'm very happy to have been in the first segment.
Yes, and trust me, you need to keep contact. We'll be playing your songs, and I will get your album. And we'll be rotating our guests, and you need to come 6 months from now minimum and just say what the next idea you have. The next 6 months
you
probably
you know.
Accomplished.
And you need to come see Penetration.
You're lovely. We have 12 dates?
We have seven. What did
How
I
many?
Say? Seven shows.
Seven shows?
Seven shows.
I grew them to 12, then probably that's what will
maybe
happen.
Maybe it'll be extended.
I hope so.
You know, you've made it happen.
Please, good luck. We want smile, laugh, and we want little feel like, oh, la la, we'll see what is the show about, okay? But it will be, I'm sure, very, very good. Thank you so much for today. And Ilona Europa, Accent On, says bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.